Well, welcome to this. Really, we're hanging out here. We're having a good time. It's Folk Fest. It's a time. It's a spring. Summer's around the corner. And it's a beautiful time of the year here in Juneau always. And you're listening to Juneau Afternoon. I'm Andy Klein. And thanks for being with us today. Settle in and get ready to listen to some homegrown Alaskan music. At the Juneau Airport, like I was just out of the Juneau Airport, and you see that Folk Festival is in the air. There's all these passengers coming in. They all have instruments on their backs, carrying mandolins, fiddles, guitars, all that. Every now and then you see a bass come in. That's always feel sorry for those folks. And we have three guests in our studios today from out of town to share some music with us. Robin Hopper is a singer-songwriter from Chugiak, Alaska. And Robin, we love how your music has been described as warm and as comforting as your favorite sweater. And then also here in our studios, we have Mike and Matt. They're a father-son duo from Anchorage who happen to have a close connection with our own Rhonda McBride, our producer here, and one of the hosts of Juneau Afternoon. And we'll spend some time getting to know both of you. But Robin, let's start off with you. That was, by the way, Mike in the background. That was great. Thanks so much for that interstitial music. That was really cool. Robin, how you doing? Thanks for coming.
I'm doing great.
Yeah, thanks for being here today. Really appreciate it. Let's talk in a minute, but let's just start off with some music. Do you mind just playing us a song?
Sure. He loved my mother. She loved no other. For 52 seasons, I think they'd agree that being together, no matter the weather, was just the way it's supposed to be. It wasn't tall flowers, some days there were showers, but raindrops bring roses eventually. Love was the reason they treasured each season, just the way it's supposed to be. The hot flush of summer gave way to the autumn. Crimson and gold replaced leaves of green. They stayed through the seasons for so many reasons, just the way it's supposed to be. Well, he loved my mother, she loved no other, and that's the way I feel when you look at me. So let's walk together from now till forever, 'cause that's the path for you and me. Just the way it's supposed to be.
Thank you so much, Robin. That was really beautiful.
Thank you.
That seems like it must have been a very personal song.
It was.
Yeah.
I wrote it before. My parents heard the first part of it, but never the second.
And you've raised a family of musicians yourself, I understand. Is that right?
I have. You have to wait a while to grow your band, but it's worth the wait.
The family band takes its years in the making.
Yes. Harmonies from the back seat.
Right. Well, tell me about you're a retired teacher, right? And a music teacher.
I'm a retired music teacher.
Yeah. So music obviously has been a part of your life as long as you remember?
Long as I remember. My great uncle was in the vaudeville on the East Orpheum circuit, and
my grandmother played and my father played, and so we just kind of carried that tradition on.
So that's interesting, though. So vaudeville, not just music, but also like the whole show,
the
right?
The whole show. In fact, the theater in New York where he used to come and play in my dad and grandma's hometown just reopened, and I got to be the first concert in 50 years
wow.
on that stage. So it
that's
was pretty cool.
Amazing. That's upstate New York? Is
oh,
that right?
Way upstate,
okay.
Yes. Potsdam.
Okay. And how did you make it to Alaska? Tell me about your journey here.
Well, I taught for 6 years music in New York and met my husband at a square dance that I was signed up for and didn't know that I was signed up for. And love at first sight. And he was a very wise man and waited until after we were married to tell me his lifelong dream was to move to Alaska. So off we went.
Okay.
And it's been a grand adventure.
Yeah. So this is the 47th annual Folk Fest. How many of those have you attended?
Well, you know, I was trying to remember on the way here whether I know that we were here either for the 20th anniversary or the 25th. And we've come every year except the year I thought we were going to be on strike with the school district. So I missed that year. But
right.
So it's
sometimes career, you know, you have to.
Right. Right. So it's either been 20 or 25 anniversary on forward.
Tell me your experience. It must be an interesting thing for, as a music educator to attend a festival that to me seems so much about the exchange of music between generations and just between different musicians. What's your perspective on that?
Oh, my goodness. This is such a unique festival. I've been to a lot in-state and out-of-state, and this is such a warm community. I mean, they just welcome every. If you've got a guitar on your back or you're toting a fiddle this weekend, you are welcome.
You're a friend, right?
Oh, yeah. And the workshops are always great. Just that exchange and playing with people that you see once a year and catching up for the whole year. It's just there's nothing quite like it.
Yeah, and it must really hit home this year after having to not do that for.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So it's really wonderful to have everyone back. It was one of those intangible missing things in Juneau as a Juneau resident that like what it doesn't feel like summer or spring, and it was because there weren't all these musicians wandering around.
Right.
For a couple weeks. Yeah. Well, Mike and Matt, let's turn to you guys. Mike and Matt Fabian are here, and they're your father and son. We're talking family here, and it's so fitting with both of you here as well. Mike, you're sitting next to your son here. Was it the grand design to make sure that he was a musician and was going to?
It seemed inevitable.
Could you just pull the mic up a little bit? Sorry about that. Yeah, there you go.
Noise.
There you go. That's fine.
Okay, I'll get it closer here. Yeah, no, I think it was inevitable that he was going to be a musician.
Right.
We started him out on fiddle and when he was, I don't know, less than grade school, I think, and it wasn't too long before he gave up the fiddle and picked up the mandolin and then a ukulele and then a guitar, so here he is pretty much virtuoso on all those instruments.
Does guitar still remain your favorite, or do you have a favorite among those? Or
guitar is definitely the one I'm the most comfortable with.
Yeah.
I switch a lot between guitar and mandolin, but that is always the one I'll always write with, I'll always kind of go to first when I'm playing with the band or that night or whatever. The guitar is always where I start.
Is there something about the guitar that makes it more versatile or makes it more more able to write with, or
it feels the most natural to me, I think.
Yeah.
I remember with violin, like, it was like my shoulders would always get really uncomfortable whenever I would like hold it up here for a long period of time, but there was just something about like the way it felt and like the fact that you could like kind of bend strings up and down, you know, you could do stuff
sure.
like that.
Yeah.
And like, of course, I was like really attracted to like a lot of, you know, rock star-esque
sure.
guitar players like Eric Clapton, Jimmy Page, and those that had that such bigger than life.
The gods of rock.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. There was definitely that appeal to me too.
Yeah.
And now I'm seeing violin players have that exact same thing. So I'm just kind of like, maybe I was wrong.
But
it was somewhere around then too where I really just stuck with guitar. And my dad actually would show me a lot of guitar chords sometimes. During TV commercial breaks, or even at the breakfast table, sometimes I'll just be fooling around with it, and he'll be like, "Oh, well, you know, you could do this scale here if you wanted, or like, hey, did you know that if you just move this note up here, this is also a G here and whatever, and like it kind of attracted my interest there.
Well, that's a really cool thing to have in your back pocket as a young musician, to have just someone there that can say, oh, and you know, because you know, as a person that struggled with guitar and then dropped it, you know, I got to a point where I just couldn't figure, just felt like I couldn't figure it out. Yeah. I probably just didn't spend enough time doing it and really obsess over it. But it's interesting that you say, well, if there's someone there to just give you those clues to get you on your way.
Right. Yeah. And I think probably what helped too was I think a lot of times when people learn an instrument, especially with guitar, is like there seems to be this subconscious assumption that you have to be like the best of the best with it, whereas it's like, no, get to the point where you're having fun with it, right?
Right.
Even if it's just two chords or you just know, you know, how we were fooling around with earlier. If that's it, that's all that's just, like, making you happy with it, then, like, keep going with it and just, like,
That one I do know.
Exactly. And that's just my important part, and just, like, and for some reason I fought that discouragement. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But, I hope that fades someday.
Yeah,
I hope that fades. I hope there's a point where people can just, like, pick up an instrument. And also, like, it's an investment, too. Like, buying instruments, they're not exactly the most...
That's true.
You know, cheapest thing, but...
Now, Mike, were you doing recording and being fairly serious as a musician for a long time? Or how did you... what's your journey there?
Well, I started out probably not too much... I wasn't too much older than Matt when I was... started out, picked up my dad's guitar and picked out the melody to Mrs. Brown, You've Got a Lovely Daughter, which kind of dates me. You know, that was my favorite song at
Herman's
that time.
Hermits, yeah.
So I don't think I ever learned all the proper chords to it, but I did send away for this, it was a little advertisement in the back of the Popular Mechanics magazine for the Ed Sale Learn How to Play Guitar in 7 Days or Your Money Back book. Which I sent away for, and I think I need to get my money back.
Because 7 days.
It's been like 50 years, 60 years, and I, you know. But Matt gives me more credit than I do. I think I showed him a C chord and a blues scale, and he kind of took it for granted.
Right,
me,
so. Yeah. Well, without further ado, you guys favor us with a song.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, we both write songs, and this one is one that I came up with quite a while ago, because most of the songs I wrote a long time ago. But this is called I Always Do.
I remember hearing this one a lot, too. Like
yeah.
Playing it.
We actually had this as our answering machine jingle for a while. But you know, we'll get back to you, because we always do. But anyway. Oh, well, I'll do it this way. I've been down on my luck, spending my last buck, but I made it through. I always do. Out riding the rain, watching the wild weather change, going through some changes too, like I always do. And when I needed a light in the dark, a little spark would come shining through. And even in spite of the blues, we still wind up winning a few. Well, we always do. That's bad. I was lost in the cold, rolling down a wrong road, but I found my way back to you, like I always do. And when we needed a light in the dark, a little spark would come shining through. And even in spite of the blues, we'd still wind up a winning a few. Well, we always do. Yeah, we always do. Somehow
was a little great. Nervous being in front of Robin Hopper, but
well, yeah, well, yes.
No. I was watching Rhonda's face.
Oh, yes.
Proud.
Well, that was really awesome. Now, do you guys also play in other bands, or have you? I'm assuming that you've played in other bands at times, or maybe even now.
Yeah, we've always, you know, played in two or three different bands at the same time. Matt and I played in a bluegrass band called Sourdough Biscuits. That was kind of Matt's introduction to being on stage with a band. Well, he had his high school bands, played rock and roll and so on. And then lately I've been working with a band, we call it Detour. It's a Western swing band, pedal steel and piano and guitar and bass and drums.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah,
looking for opportunities to spread the Western swing thing around.
My follow-on question to that is there a difference with playing with each other as father and son? Is there a connection, or is it just like, oh, these, you know, I know where they go or that kind of thing? Or
it feels as like talking, you know, it feels like conversating, it feels like catching up on the day, or, you know, getting coffee with your friend you haven't seen in a while. That's kind of what it feels like. I can't really explain it.
It does feel different in a way.
You're just riffing and you're like talking about old jokes and like laughing and smiling at each other, and that's really how it feels every time I play with my pops. So
yeah, we
cool.
don't really get a chance to play together very much outside of, you know, the living room or doing a festival like this once in a while, or maybe a rare set together. So
right,
it's nice to.
Do you have a definition? You were mentioning other genres of bands that you play in. Do you have a definition of the type of music you guys play together? I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. It's just a little bit of everything.
Yeah, you know, that's what I thought.
I guess it's folk.
Sure.
It seemed like sort of folk, but there was a lot of pop elements in a way in the song you just played. It felt like just a, you know.
Yeah. There's kind of a little some jazz in there, too. There's some kind of that sort of like Western swing backbeat, too. It's... Within all of that, I guess you could just put it under folk.
Yeah, of course.
Americana, maybe?
Yeah,
there we go.
That's a definitions kind of lose their meaning
after a while. Yeah. It's always one of that. It's the hardest question, I think, for a musician is what kind of music
right,
do you play?
And
that's the one you get first. You know? So what do you play? What do you do? Well, I play the guitar. And I
Well, Robin, you're going to be also teaching a workshop. Is that right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tell me about that.
Well, a songwriting workshop. And... I think as a performer, as a writer, you always want to make that statement that just connects with people in the audience. You just want to reach someone. And this workshop I've taught many, many times over the years. And I love to do it because every time it comes out differently. And we cull things down. The writing in the group becomes brilliant because I keep shortening the time that they get to write. And... they want to say something cosmic by the end, and they do. It's a neat thing, and it's
tell me a little bit about how you structure it. Everyone's going to go in and actually write a song.
Well,
is that
no,
how it works,
we,
or work together
well,
writing
we,
one? Or?
We talk about coming up with some like imaginary song titles, and we might put 10 of them on the board or whatever piece of paper I get to write on in the room. And everybody picks one, and if given enough time and the right number of people, I like to give 2 minutes. And they pick a title, and they just write for 2 minutes. And after we're all done, we go around the table, and everybody reads what they wrote. And as you listen to everybody's writing, if something just grabs you, something hits you, something speaks to you, you jot it down. And by the end, everybody... has this list of nuggets, and then they read the list so that you hear, oh my gosh, I said that and somebody got it, somebody understood it. And then you pick something, the next writing, you pick something that you chose from somebody else's writing that spoke to you, and you write about that, but you've only got a minute to do it. And you want to say something cosmic that somebody else is going to write down when they hear it. And then we go around and everybody reads what they took from the listening, and then you pick one more final, but you've only got 30 seconds to write. And that's when the miracle happens, because virtually everyone at the table has reached somebody at the table and heard their words brought back to them when they read their lists out loud. And so it's just so inspiring to do in 30 seconds something that's going to grab somebody. It's just really
fun. That's interesting because it sounds like it's a way of almost short-circuiting the brain so that the creative nugget gets right there on the page immediately.
Right.
I hear songwriters talking, great songwriters, you know, everyone's heard this where they say, well, where did, you know, satisfaction or something come from? Oh, I dreamed it. I just wrote it down after I dreamed it. You know, it's just like, well, that's not fair. But then I've heard Paul Simon talk about songwriting. He says he goes in at 8 o'clock every morning into his study and he writes for 4 hours and then he takes a 2 hour break and then he writes for two more. Like he has this regimented way of dealing with it, like it's a job. And that seems like impossible to me that you would like force that. But what you're saying is that it's not a force, but it's just some techniques that you can use.
Right, just to connect with your audience. And, you know, I attend every songwriting workshop that I possibly can outside of the state and here. And one of the common things said is 95% of songwriting is showing up to do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's always, you can take care of the kids, you go to work, you got to wash the dishes. But at some point you need to make time just to be the songwriter.
Yeah. Well, Mike, you're also a songwriter. Is there something that's, you know, okay, this, when I do these things, this is when I can get that creative thing going?
Well, I think when I was recording or writing songs more often, I would just be sitting around playing my guitar, and a riff would come to me maybe, or a chord progression or a certain melodic thing, and it needed some words. Or I'd have a word or an idea or a feeling or some problem, you know, that I needed to work on. So it would eventually work it out to itself.
So sometimes for you it's the music piece, and sometimes
music
it's
and
the lyrical.
Words come, yeah. Sometimes I'll write a poem, you know, some words, and try to find some. And those don't actually, if I don't have a melody in mind as I'm composing the poem, it doesn't come for a long time.
Yeah.
But and then I find too, well, I can't really use that melody because that was the same melody as, you know. You're cheating hard, or something.
Right?
You
know? I know.
I wrote it to that melody, so
that seems impossible.
You
got to
come up with something, but eventually the song needs that melody that was in the head in the first place,
right?
So,
Matt, are you also a writer? Or?
Yes. Yeah. I've kind of been taking a break here and there, but I've recently kind of gone back into songwriting. But I have since wrote some. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember for me, I remember where I started. I think I was 15 or 16, and like I heard a song. Once, I think it was the Chili Peppers song "Road Tripping," I was like riding back home from school, and I ended up coming up with new lyrics for it, but the same melody, right? And then I was like, "Oh, that's like, whoa! I wrote that, but I can't use this because it's Road Tripping. I can't. Right. It's by the Chili Peppers. I can't do that." And then I actually ended up like getting semi-decent at finger picking, and was like, and then that forced me to be like, okay, well, maybe I could recreate the chord structure here. Maybe I could do that here. And then that's where it started for me trying to do songwriting. And then
that's interesting. Yeah. It's almost like it kickstarted you. Like you knew, oh, I knew that, I know this is an existing song, but it inspired you to come up with something different. And that got you moving to then create your own whole thing. Yeah.
Right. And because I started with melody, like learning melodies on guitar, melodies on violin, all of that, I think it's like, I have to hear the melody first or the chord progression or something. And then I can start like,
I see,
kind of putting something to it. I can't just like write loosely like that. Although I am somebody too that needs a little more structure. So something like the Paul Simon theory of, you get up at 8 a.m., you drink your coffee, you write, you lock yourself up. That might also work for me, too.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Straightjacket yourself to the words.
Dedicating that time. Yeah. Right.
So, but that's usually been my thing. As long as I have, like, a melody or something coming up with it, I can find words of some sort.
Well, speaking of all the songwriting, Robin, do you have another song that you might be able to favor us with?
Sure.
Maybe another. By the way, I love your guitar. It is beautiful.
Well, this was built by Rob Goldberg from Haynes.
Okay. Wow.
Oh, wow. This is really gorgeous.
A few years ago, I was at the festival, and there was a woman playing the most unbelievable sounding guitar I had ever heard. And I poked my friend Sally, and I said, what did they say who made that guitar? Yeah. And she said, I think he's sitting over there. So after the set, I followed him around the corner. And I said, "That did you build that guitar?" And he took me backstage, and I got to play it. And so I thought, I have to have one of these. So he interviewed me that weekend twice, and it was probably 3 or 4 hours worth of interviewing. And he had heard me play at the festival over the years, so he knew what kind of playing I do. And so he started building it, and I got it the next year at the festival.
Wow.
So.
Well, here we are in the land of Sitka spruce, which, of course, is famous for great guitars. And,
well, this is actually German spruce he had cut in the 70s, and it's been drying since then. And if you take a look at the guitar, it's darker down here and lighter here because it sat by a window.
Oh.
And he had them on a rack, and the sun leached in. It's just such a...
That's so cool.
He did such a great,
incredibly unique instrument, and obviously,
He named her Aurora because the northern lights are on my fretboard.
Yeah.
And this is actually the mountain range, the actual contour of the mountain range right in front of my house. And my house is at the 10th fret.
Your favorite fret.
Yes, my favorite fret.
Well, we'd love to hear you play that beautiful instrument.
Well, this one of the things that I think about when I try and write is never let the facts stand in the way of the truth. And you might know the big truth, but the song can mold to it. And this is an example of that. This is about our friend Dwayne Brantley, who you guys would know. He films the festival in Anchorage every year and very nicely posts the videos for us to see what we did on stage. And he's a very active man. He's a fisherman and spends a lot of time on the Kenai. And in my imagination, someday he's going to be too old to go to the Kenai, and he'll go there in his dreams. And that's what this is all about. He's actually a very hale and hearty man. So I have to say that.
He's vibrant. He's fine.
He's fine. And this is just the facts not standing in the way of the truth.
This is Robin Hopper.
It'll sound better if it's in tune. Maybe
okay,
not.
Okay.
Oh, that was a booger thing. All right. Sorry. This must be the sea air. Bedside table, a picture book of frontier scenes. An old man's memories live between its covers in faded hues of blues and greens. Some are Polaroid, some are Kodak. Each a moment caught in time, reminding him of his days in Kenai, of a time when he in his prime. And though his body fails him, his memory shines and gleams, and he's once again in Kenai, if only in his dreams. Photographs of his days in Kenai, watching eagles on the wing, standing brave against rage and waters to catch the mighty king. A picture taken on a misty bear trail, the day he heard a raven speak. Fireweed carpet flowing down the mountain, burning bright beneath a snowy peak. Though his body fails him, his memory shines and gleams, and he's once again in Kenai,
only in his dreams. He'd love to travel back in time to Kenai, if only wishing made it so. But old men settle for a dreamtime journey to the place of ice and alpenglow. And though his body fails him, his memory shines and gleams, and he's once again in Kenai, if only in his dreams.
Thank you, Robin. It's Robin Hopper. We've got Robin Hopper and Mike and Matt in the studio with us, and we're just going to take a quick break here just to get some public service announcements out of the way. We'll be right back with these folks, and we'll hear some more music. Welcome back to the studios. We're exchanging stories and listening to music here, as is the way with Folk Fest. It's such a nice afternoon we're spending here together. Thanks, you guys, for all coming in. It's been really great to meet you and hear your beautiful music. And Mike and Matt, we're gonna turn it to you. I understand that, Matt, you've got your first solo kind of collection of songs, album, CD.
I
SoundCloud.
Do.
What? I don't even know how. What do we say nowadays? Is it?
yeah. No. It's true. There's so many platforms now.
Right.
And then also now with like, there's a lot of controversies now of like which one's better, which one's better run.
The royalties,
it's hard to sell. The royalties,
how all that
sound
how,
quality,
yeah.
all of that. Yeah. yeah. But my record that came out late last year. It's called Conversations with Your Ghost. I just composed 7 songs and went to my dad's studio, and him and I just hashed these songs out as best as I could. And
do you have a home studio?
My dad does. Yeah,
he's been that's
working,
cool.
He's kind of been working on it my whole childhood. Actually, there would always be gear going in and out or whatever. you had like 8-track tapes going out and in or whatever. Like I remember sometimes I would go down there and be reading or something, whatever, and I would hear like the tape. Play where it, you know, he would like rewind it and you would hear it. You'd hear him go like, you know, guitar riff, click. guitar riff, click. You hear a little more of the song, then click.
So do you have like reel to reel set up
yeah,
and stuff like that?
So
yeah,
I had a reel to reel for a while.
Yeah, that was state of the art at the time.
Well, was,
yeah,
well, right. It was getting it was approaching obsolescence, but
yeah,
we had a lot of fun with it. Yeah,
yeah.
It was,
right.
And it would rewind, and then it would kind of come back, and then it would rewind, and finally like
yeah.
arrive at its spot there.
Well, that's wow! What a great resource to have there for you. So
yeah.
tell me about the solo the song you're, you want to play.
Records.
And
the,
yeah, the
yeah,
record,
yeah, yeah. So the record I came out with, I started it's kind of a breakup record. It's kind of a record on kind of loss and however you want to deal with that. So the songs are a little bit more sad and they're a little bit more darker and tone and all that. But I remember coming back from this trip to Spain that I took, and like I had this idea of like, you know, when you're going through that kind of a breakup, you're kind of like dealing with the ghost of what was or what wasn't, and you're thinking about all these things about what that person could enjoy with you and all that, but you're alone. So I had that idea, and I was thinking, oh, that would be a great title for an album, but I don't know where I could use it, or I don't even know what songs. And then kind of that same thing, like where words start flowing and you start kind of writing, and as you kind of have more time to yourself, you're able to kind of come up with stuff. Like, so
yeah.
It just felt like it had to happen. It wasn't like I didn't really have a plan of like, oh, well, this is going to make a million records, or, oh, this is going to win me a Grammy, because it didn't. But but there was nothing like that. It's just like I just have to release it. And
you don't want that right away anyway. That would ruin you. You want to get the Grammy later.
Did we not learn from Will Smith at the Oscars?
It's Roel. I mean, let's.
No, I'm kidding. But, I was going to play one off Mike and Matt, but I think since we were just talking about the record, Gunmetal Grade again?
Okay.
Yeah. So this was one of the first songs I took a job as a photojournalist, actually. They were going through all my gear and like what I was going to be using, and they were like, "Oh, this is your microphone. This gunmetal gray color is going to go with this channel or whatever." And I was like, "Huh, gunmetal gray. That's interesting." So and it felt at the time that it was kind of the thing to describe this person that I was singing about. So it worked out. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Hold on, I got a tune too.
Now I don't
miss it. Oh, Sierra, I am a, yes.
All right. About to go.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. She's a cast iron pot. There when you knock, remembers the flowers when you have forgot, leaves a message at the tone, can't come to the phone, your compass when you can't find your way home. Gun metal gray was not supposed to stay. At least those were her words. It was love if it hurts. Say again and again, you're meant till the end, but the wind will always be your new best friend. The neediest man without a plan will take the longest to understand. That gun metal gray was not supposed to stay. At least those were her words. It was love if it hurts. And the houses on your street screaming, all the boys are at your feet. You may have taken them all to bed, but you still sleep inside my head, singing a tune to my afternoon. September will be coming soon. Gun metal gray just won't fade away, but that is not the worst. It was love because it hurt.
That was really nice.
Thanks, everybody who's listening.
Thank you,
our
Matt.
Studio audience.
Well, we have to stop the music here. we've got to keep going on. I'm sorry, but
it's all good.
It's been so awesome just hanging out and listening to this beautiful music that you all are playing. Yeah. Robin Hopper and Mike and Matt Fabian, thanks so much for coming in, all of you, and sharing your music with us. Robin, you're performing Sunday evening at 7:15 on the main stage at the Folk Fest, and then your workshop, Writing Memorable Lyrics, is Sunday from 1:30 to 2:30 in the Egan Room over in the Centennial Hall. So that's going to be great. Both of those things will be really worth attending. Mike and Matt perform at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon at the main stage, and good luck to all of you with your performances. Not that you need it. You're pros, but I really appreciate it. Thanks so much for coming in. It's been really, really fun listening to everything you've been playing here.
Thanks for taking in some musicians from the cold.
Yes, absolutely. and allowing you to tune the instruments here. Oh, yes, absolutely. Okay, we'll be right back.